In less than a year, my husband will be gone. Forever. He will not only be leaving me behind, but also the world. That's why every second counts. Brett's hand is warm against my palm. He's trying to comfort me. I hate that he's failing at it. But I smile because I'm trying to comfort him right back. I'm probably failing too. Every day of my life, I wake up each morning waiting for the other shoe to drop. Being dragged from one foster family to the next as a kid, only to be returned to sender time and time again, does that to you. Brett was my new beginning, my fairy tale. But fairy tales don't exist. Not in my world. I was a fool to believe they did. The early years of our marriage were tough. I loved Brett, but I struggled to be close to him, to be happy. It had a lot to do with his father. Once I had finally become accustomed to living with my pain and had learned how to fake happiness, cancer struck. I'm trying hard to be strong for both of us, but I'm slowly coming undone.
Are you okay?
Brett lifts a thick eyebrow. His voice is deep with exhaustion. Since his stomach cancer diagnosis 1 month ago, he tires more easily. That doesn't stop him from giving the little energy he has left to the Black Oyster Resort, one of his father's hotels that's based in Fort Haven, North Carolina. That's where we met. His father had hired me to work as a maid, and Brett and I fell in love and got married within 6 months. Business always comes first for Brett, even before our little family. Whenever I confront him, he denies it, but it's the truth. I thought I was okay with getting the scraps of his time. I forced myself to be grateful for having him in my life at all. Not anymore, though. Not when we have such little time left together. It's our wedding anniversary, and I had wanted us to create one last happy memory. Tonight I had wanted to live in denial, to pretend our life is perfect even when it's far from it. His phone beeps before I can respond, before I can go on fooling myself. The other shoe drops. I expected it to. Brett always answers his calls, especially when it's his father. Every time that man calls, he jumps. I reach for his hand and squeeze it. "Don't," I whisper, knowing full well that I'm asking for the impossible. "Don't answer it, please." His gaze moves to the phone nestled between his glass of sparkling water and his empty plate.
"Sorry, sweetheart. It's my father. You know I have to."
He wipes his mouth and tosses his napkin onto the table, then reaches for the phone to speak to my father-in-law, the man who controls both our lives. Cole Wilton calls himself a father, but he's not. He's far worse than a dictator who treats his son like a puppet and everyone else like trash. In his presence, Brett is always anxious and helpless. While I do my best to build him up, his father never misses a chance to make him feel small. I wish so much I could help Brett see what a snake his father is. Cole knows he's not welcome in our home. It's the only place where Brett can be himself without the cloud of his father's disapproval hovering over him. It's the only place I can feel safe. Cole shows up anyway from time to time, reminding us that the luxury two-story house we live in belongs to him. My most terrifying encounter with him was the night before I married Brett. He made it clear to me that he did not approve of me marrying his son and made a promise to destroy our marriage if I didn't call off the wedding. I went ahead and married Brett anyway, but nothing was ever the same. Cole poisoned our marriage before it even started. After the wedding, I was desperate to get away, and I begged Brett to walk away from Fort Haven so we could start a new life in another town. I even proposed that we move to another Black Oyster Hotel location so he could continue to work in the family business. Brett dismissed the idea immediately. His father needed him in Fort Haven, he claimed. The truth is that his father wanted to have him close enough to control,